Hello, it's almost like we're friends now. Coming up in today's podcast, we'll review all the important moments from Wire versus Hull KR. But has the victory come at a cost? Madam Boyd is back. There'll be a touching tribute to R. Wilderspool. Can Dennis's tackle bag get any more bizarre than Wolfie's prank this week? And it's not quite keys in a bowl, but we'll bring you the new Who Would We Swap section. There's a Bohemian London food review, plus there's a romance brewing in the air at the Halliwell Jones. So here we go, after safely navigating around the high seas of the second album, crews, passengers, all accounted for, let's drop anchor. We can breathe easily now, so lie back, just relax and think of Warrington. You won't feel a thing. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Hello, I'm Rob London, coming to you from a warm and sunny Sydney. But where are my two cold, pasty poms? I know what, I think I'll introduce them the other way around tonight. Put them on different wings, so to speak. So, beckoning my first albino, he openly admitted to feeling a little jaded last week after the Leeds game, which incidentally led to him mistakenly giving the incorrect Toby tackle count that inevitably, on sobering thought, turned out to be Jack Hughes's tackle count. The man who loves nothing more than a Rogan Josh served with Peshwari Naan. It's Sam Sankey. Hello, Sam.
Good morning. Oh, good evening there in Sydney. How are you?
You're looking very bright and cheerful this morning, Sam.
Oh, yeah. Early kickoff yesterday, so it was early home and early to bed, wasn't it?
Good to hear.
On my defence, I'm going to straight away say that tackle count came direct from Rugby League headquarters. I should know better than to trust them.
Anyway, moving on to our second pale co-host, who looks even paler than normal, because I've just heard he's had a whole bottle of wine after midnight. Surely on the brink of being sectioned, he had no opinion whatsoever on Blake Austin, yet he's quite willing to put a swab up Chris Hill's arse to obtain DNA to understand the fining workings of a rugby league player. From the land of peace and love and overly priced camper vans, down there in Glastonbury, hello, it's Dennis Waywell.
Morning. Or is it afternoon? Evening? Oh, I'm confused already.
Oh, dear. What was your what kind of wine was it, Dennis?
It was a lovely Sancerre. That's about it, because I can't even remember. It was just a late night. I think what I need to do is I need to get some artisan oats down me from Glastonbury. Give me a warm glow.
Yeah. But I don't think you wouldn't last on BBC Breakfast like Dan Walker, would you? He's a consummate professional.
Yeah, well, let's not go there. I've got a date now.
Right, OK. Well, before we look at the game between Warrington and Hull KR, we'll just pedal back a little bit and look at what happened in the week leading up to the game. We had two players that went to the judiciary in Ben Westwood and Toby King. Had you asked me over a week ago that these two were going to get banned, I wouldn't have been that bothered, to be fair. But both had terrific games against Leeds. On reflection, were the bans deserved?
You know what? This is interesting, isn't it? I mentioned this last week about, is it going to be over the horizontal and it's going to be borderline cases, isn't it? And then obviously it's going to go to this tribunal thing and then you probably get bans. I thought of something. Another additional graphic for Sky Sports could be to use like a sexton that could be go to the video ref, look at the sexton and see if his like legs go above a certain degrees. And then we could have like, you know, a decision by the video ref to see whether they should be sin binned or not. What about that for an idea?
That's a good idea. I think we could call like we could have a celebrity video ref like Freddie Fulcombe or something like that. Peter Pivot, something based on those lines. I think would be very good.
Yeah,
he certainly looked like he put him in the spear tackle position. Did Toby King? I think it was unfortunate, but he definitely it was a dangerous throw.
Yeah, I think you're right, and Dennis did mention it last week. I think a couple of seasons ago, you would have thought that was a very harsh ban. And even last year, they'd have gone early plea and probably just got off with it. But as long as they're going to be consistent going forward, if that is the line for what constitutes a ban, then let's make sure everyone else gets banned in the future if they do that.
Did he just get one game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, can you still do the Cumberland throw in Cumbria? Is it still legal in Cumbria?
I don't know. I'm actually going to go up to the Lake District this year. So I'll walk down Keswick High Street and just tackle a load of people. Probably be arrested. Right?
Dennis and I are climbing Scarfell Pike in July. And looking at the state of Dennis this morning, I don't think he'd get up cat bells.
Cat bells?
In terms of the Westwood one, I still can't find any actual footage of it.
What did he do?
I was told it was for jumping into the tackle and for a dangerous throw in effect.
Westwood can't jump into the tackle. He's 48.
I remember Wilderspool like it were yesterday. I'd save up just enough of my YTS wage to make sure I had enough money for the match. Thatcher's Britain. Those are regular ticket prices, so everyone needed change on the gate. And the South with the river folk complained there was never a season ticket number on display. We were all queuing halfway down Fletcher Street. Happy days. Complete incompetence. I'd stand on the terraces in half an inch of Greenall's piss, and one week some bloke from the back of the stand split my head open with a 2p coin. He was trying to hit a blanket from 75 metres. Great fun. There was no OHS. We had a physio called Tony Sunbed, who looked like he'd stepped off a flight from Torremolinos. It all predated melanomas. Huge crowds of 3,000, sometimes even 4. And you could still change ends at half-time. The chap on the PA system, he'd try and stop you, but he was completely incoherent. There was no Wi-Fi, no music, or cheerleaders. The half-time entertainment was having a chat. Such warmth. And who can forget the streaker in the Cronulla game? There he was with his cock and bollocks out, with the police trying desperately to apprehend him, only for the wire trainer to chuck him a water bottle before he did another lap. There was certainly no backsack and crack in those days. Legend has it too, Ian Duane once passed a ball to his winger. Perhaps that's just a myth, but I'll never forget Craig Teitzel turning out to be the complete opposite of Les Boyd and getting injured after 30 seconds. He couldn't knock the skin off a rice pudding. Oh, and the magnificent physical specimen known as Tony Tatupu, giving the classic example why never judge a book by his cover. He was total and utter dog shit. And you know what? I was privileged. It was wonderful. I still drive along the causeway and I can't help myself, taking a quick glance down Fletcher Street. Wonderful memories. The noise, the smell, the humour. My mates, my brother, my sister, my mum, my dad, our wire. It will always be our Wilderspool.
The other thing I want to look at is an article that was printed in the Warrington Guardian this week. I'm going to quote what Steve Price said. The more times Blake and Deck play together with the likes of Daryl, Danny and Steph, the better we're going to be. It's like when you have a new romance. It takes a little bit of time. Can I suggest it's more a case that those first few weeks are the real spark? I mean, using the same philosophy, my relationship, I sleep in the spare bedroom these days.
Nobody wants to answer that question because you've just left us with that thought.
I think it's a very good tactic of Mrs. London to put you in the spare bedroom out the way.
Yeah, well, it's too hot in the other end of the house. I'm down in the spare bedroom until at least April.
I think he's right, though. If we take this whole Love Boat metaphor away, I think he's right. The more that that actors play together, Clark, Austin, Ratchford, and presumably Dirk Patton, they should get to know each other better. It should get slicker. In that first game against Leeds, they almost clicked two or three times and they were just half a yard off. So, yeah, I know what he means. They should get a bit slicker the more they play together.
I had a look at this, but A Fine Romance, that was a BBC sitcom where this bloke trying to get in Judi Dench's knickers. So I'm not sure how to interpret that, I'm afraid, Rob.
He kept going round, didn't he, with no coffee, asking for coffee. Or was that Just Good
that
Friends?
That was the advert.
Mellow
Just
Birds.
Good Friends, wasn't it? Penny. Penny on Just Good Friends. She was a right miserable cow.
Yeah.
Right, well.
I think we're showing our age there.
Keeping on that sort of track of it being a fine romance, do you think they're on farting terms yet? I mean, after what you saw yesterday, Sam, can you see that sort of comfortability between the two of them?
I think yesterday was a very hard game to judge. It was a very much a stop-start affair. I think the way Blake Austin runs all over the pitch, it's almost like he's trying to get away from Dex's farts.
Well, you said it was a stop-start affair. That leads me on to my next point. Is Dec boxing above his weight here? Is it just a matter of time before Blake seeks out a new partner? I mean, are we going to see a relationship blossoming like John and Yoko, or is it going to go sour like Den and Angie's?
I think it'll probably go sour unless... I mean, the thing about it is that you made the comment about Patton last week, and he was like, well... He seemed to be that he was the number two. He wasn't doing very well. And I take on Sam's point as well that he's just going to be somebody who's only ever going to be average, I think.
It's kind of that girlfriend you go back to. You had a few of those, didn't you, Dennis? Eh?
Yeah, I think I did.
Fell on hard times.
Yeah.
I think the jury's still out. And I think we're highlighting... And not just us, people on message boards and on Twitter, we're highlighting Dec Patton because I suppose it's the shadow of Gareth Widdop is hanging over that position, isn't it? I don't want to just repeat what I've said last week, but all he has to be is consistently quite good. He doesn't have to be outstanding. He just has
showing
to make
right
sure that
pattern.
Each week is consistent. Pattern I'm on about, yes, of course.
Of course. In any new relationship, there's a huge expectation on that first Valentine's Day. And it's Valentine's Day on Wednesday. What present do you suggest that Dec should get Blake to mark the occasion?
I've gone for maybe a signed photo frame of Dec Patton. So it's like a constant reminder for Blake that he's there, he's not going away, and don't forget him when he's on the pitch.
That might work.
What does the stat man get Mrs. Sankey on Valentine's Day?
Oh, yeah, interesting. This year, I'm going to get the wire flyer to put on his black outfit instead of his green one.
Interesting. We don't actually have Valentine's Day here in Australia. It's, the Australian mail hasn't come round to that that way.
So is that you getting out of it again?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Are you expecting a microphone back?
Would be nice, wouldn't it? Would be nice. We'll wait and see. But we can always hope that the microphone comes along before the end of the season.
A full box of Timothy Taylor would be nice.
Stuart Cummings, you happy with that?
Well, it looks like he's got it down. I think Ben Taylor's just got a concern about the exact timing, but I think that shows us that the knee's up and he'll probably award this try. He should award this try.
Well, here we go. First video referee decision of 2019.
I think I'm happy with that, but can we just check that his leg is not in touch? Do you have any other angles? Could you show me an angle from behind up the rear? Yes. Right. Can you slow that down frame by frame, please? Yeah, that's it. Just one frame at a time. Oh, Do you have any other angles? Do you have an angle from the other side, please? Could I see an angle from the other side? Yeah. All right, now just play that through. I'm looking for, is his leg in the air? Or is it in touch as the ball... Do you have an angle from behind the sticks? Could I have a look at... Do you have the referee's camera? Could I have a look at that one, please? Right, play that through. No, that's not helping me, is it? Oh, what would Mother do?
We apologise, but we'll interrupt the transmission there due to Mr. Thaler's indecisiveness to bring you something a little more fast-paced.
And you join us here at the Crucible. Terry Griffiths, now 71 years of age, and too old to get his leg over, prefers to use his left hand now. And there a classic example, Terry going up and down, up and down, as he gives his Q-tip a jolly good chalking. Terry, so cautious, yet such an elegant style of play. A difficult bridge, but Terry possibly looking at the cannon to pop this red into the top right-hand bag. This will need to be inches away from being millimetre perfect. Any second now, Terry composing himself, although he's bending possibly slightly too far, and referee Len Ganley offering him the half-putt. Unsure, perhaps, of his position, he's the certainty of screwing back for the pink on the balk, or maybe push and sink the brown. Just not quite happy there, Terry returning to his corner, taking a sip of water there, the consummate professional, declining a pint of Timothy Taylor, even though it's an excellent beverage. Terry, in his lucky red shirt, walking down the side of the billiard table to take one last look, perhaps a little worried about the speed of the bays here in Sheffield. No commentator, ever before or ever after me, mentioning the quicker pace of the Crucible bays. Here he goes. Any second now. Any moment.
One.
Well, Terry, finally potting the red there. We'll leave the snooker and head back to Super League, where I'm sure a decision has been made.
Look, do you have any other angles? Can you slow it down, please? Could I look at it from a elevation of 45 degrees from a 365 angle in Betamax video? You don't have that. All right, OK. Right. No, I'm going to make a decision. Look, just play it to me once more in that same angle we started at. Yes, smashing. Oh, frame by frame. Any other angle? Do you have any other angles, please? Excuse me, any other angles?
Our apologies again, but sadly we've run out of time. We will hopefully be able to bring you the result after the 10 o'clock news. Who is that Northern Monkey?
This is ITV News at 10.
Okay, let's move on to the match. The score was Warrington 28, Hull KR 14. For quite a while in that second half, I did think I was going to nail it there and get that 18-all draw. But in the end, we had a few more scores. Sam got the closest at 32-12, just edging out Dennis there by his 2 points. The team was Ratchford, Lynham, Goodwin, Ratkins, Charnley, Austin, Patton, Hill, Clark, Cooper, Levette, Hughes and Jason Clark. The interchange bench was Ben Murdoch-Masilla, Tarzi making his debut, Philbin and the young Walker. We weren't there, Dennis. We've only seen the highlights and we've seen extended highlights this morning. We had to also rely on Wire FM. Up until that 8th minute, Sam, when Hull KR scored, was it just a sort of nip and tuck affair? We were back in two again?
Yes, it was. In the early part of the game, Hull KR were making very good yards. They were making easy easy meters downfield. They look well organised. They look direct. And we helped them a bit by struggling to keep hold of the ball in the early stages.
On the 8th minute, Hawke R scored a lovely switch between Drinkwater and Maguire, and then a kick to the corner, and they're in. A good coached move by Tim Sheens.
Yeah, definitely. And it was Danny Maguire taking control. For the first 20 minutes, I thought it was Josh Drinkwater, but not because I've had too much to drink or anything like that. It was just simply that Maguire wearing 7 and Drinkwater wearing 6 confused me a bit. And the number 7, which turned out to be Maguire, had a very good first 20 minutes influencing the direction that Hull KR were taking.
So, I mean, Maguire and Drinkwater now have played the same amount of games as Patton and Austin. Are we saying that possibly Drinkwater and Maguire are on farting terms?
Drinkwater was disappointing for me most of the game, and I've looked at the stats today and he hardly touched the ball. Okay. By comparison.
Did that farting affect Ratchford? Because I got a text through saying headless chicken at some point about midway through the first half.
Yeah. You seemed to fade away in that second half, Dennis. Was that when the wine started to flow?
No. It wasn't on at that point, no. But I have to say, it sounded a really shit match to watch because it seemed to be just stop-start. There was no flow in it. I mean, it's weird, really. When you listen to it on the radio quite intensely, is that you think, oh, this sounds really awful. But was it really that bad, Sam, in the first half?
No, but you just said flow was a thing. You'd get a good 4, 5, 6 minutes and suddenly there'd be a drop ball or a move didn't quite come off and everything stopped. It just didn't seem as quick. It didn't seem to flow, to use that word again, like last week. Lots of scrums, ball put down, last tackle options not quite coming up. For both teams.
Yeah, well, on the 20th minute, Levette goes over. It's a flat pass from Patton. Not really too dissimilar to the balls that were being thrown to King last week. Levette really running in that same hole, and he's over. And then on the 27th minute, Blake Austin is Simbin. Now, I listened to this on Wire FM, and they sort of came back to it and said, well, it was a forearm that was the problem. You can clearly see that he's not tackled. Tompkins is not tackled. And Austin, it's not a flop because he can play on. Was it a knee? I thought possibly it was a knee that got him on the side of the temple, not the forearm.
Yeah, it was hard to see at the actual game. It was more or less right in front of me. The play had unfolded, and actually Jack Hughes made a brilliant run back to bring Tompkins down, and then Austin comes flying in, and initially the referee just runs back to continue the play, and it was only as the touch judge came on that he took the report from him and then yellow carded Austin. If he just flopped on hard, he'll be fine. But if it was an elbow to the face, which seems to be what's being reported, but then again, I don't know how everyone else has actually seen it.
Who is the person that supposedly has seen this forearm that sort of created this rumour? Wire FM didn't see it, and then they suddenly decided it was a forearm. I've watched it 3 or 4 times this morning and slowed it down. No sign of a forearm.
Has he just banged his head into the ground or something with a weight as he's flopped on?
I think it was his knee. I thought it was Austin's knee that comes in, but he's not tackled, and Austin goes in to flop on top of him. Yeah. And as Sam
and
said...
He did come in at speed. I think possibly the comments from, I think it was Tim Sheens after, saying he's gone to hospital, he's not in a very good way. I think that's what's possibly inflamed it more.
Yeah, and also I saw him saying, I don't want to whinge about it. And then there was about 3 paragraphs on whinging about it.
Yeah.
So, does the severity of this injury now affect the way the RFL might issue out a ban?
I'm pretty sure you can't evaluate how bad the injury will be because it's Tompkins.
Yeah, that's right.
How do you know whether he's concussed?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like that after that bottle of wine last night, and yeah, I do feel all right today.
Blake Austin, Performance Car of the Week.
Yeah, the Austin Healey, often referred to as the Big Healey, was a fast car. Once reported to say that Donald Healey was addicted to the speed so much that on a public road, he drove past a police officer who gave chase and was unable to keep up with him. So, for his great lines and superb turn of speed, the Blake Austin Performance Car of the Week is the Austin Healey.
Steady on, Austin. It's a 10-mile-an-hour speed limit on Bridgefoot.
Well, Hull KR would not lie down with that extra player. They did a simple move that Leeds couldn't manage last week when they had the extra man. It's through the hands, it's an overlap, and they're in the corner. And then on the 39th minute, right on the stroke of half-time, Austrian's back on. Quick hands to Goodwin, over to line him in the corner. The flying pig does his best, and he touches down. Half-time score, Wire 12, Hull KR 8. The only difference between the two sides is that Ratchford's converted two more of the tries. He's kicking well. I mean, I think he missed one in the second half, didn't he? It was the first one he's missed this season, but yeah, he's nailing them at the moment.
He is at the moment. And similar to last week, the line and conversion was right from the touchline. He converted one from the touchline last week as well. He's perhaps been practicing. Wonders will never cease. But he does strike the ball well when he's confident.
Yeah. Didn't he say last year he doesn't practice?
Yeah, last year, I don't think any of the backup kickers, in inverted commas, were practicing properly. But the problem was last year, all the backup kickers became frontline kickers, didn't they, at different times?
I tell you what, I wish Dennis had practiced last time I played golf with him. We were on the first tee at Lynn, and he managed to put his wood shot off the first tee at Lynn onto the car park behind him.
Shot of the century.
Takes a lot of ability to do that.
Look at Rob now, how composed he is laughing about it. Were you like that at the time?
I wasn't, no. As the ball was heading for the club captain's car. No, I wasn't.
Yeah.
Don't play another one. Head off down the fairway. Don't look back.
And he even gave me one of his new balls as well, Sam. That's how like concerned he was. No concern about the price of that. Throw it straight down. That's your ball now.
Let's get out of here quick when no one can see us.
Right. Well,
just on that first half, by the way, I want to add something to Sam's fantasy locker. Watching that try, I did notice Goodwin's soft hands. Is it a contender?
No, it was a bit low. Goodwin did get rid of the ball very quickly.
Wasn't it more of a flinch?
Because the defender was coming up at him quickly.
You don't go for a jerky hand then, do you not, Sam?
No. It has to be smooth and silky.
Well, it's clear to see when Austin isn't on the park, we're not the team that we think we are. Let's hope he doesn't get banned. Do we think he's going to get banned?
Well, of course he is.
I don't think he's ever been banned in Australia. I'm not sure if that will go in his favour. But he's not a dirty player. And I think, looking at the evidence, unless they've got another angle for that, I think he'll be all right. I think he'll just about get away with it.
I suppose it depends what the linesman's report is, but if the linesman's report was a clear elbow straight to the head, surely it'd have been a red card, not just a yellow one, wouldn't it, I suppose?
Mm. What kind of elbow have you had to the head, Dennis? Just a bottle of wine?
Probably like a tennis elbow to the head. That's what it feels like.
Oh, dear. Right, well, we should probably move on to the most popular segment in the podcast. The mystical lady with an assistant now, known only by the name of Tony. Dennis put a weekly call in, but perhaps this week it's not all good news. Over to Madam Boyd.
Hello? Tower, do you want number 77?
Good evening, Madam Boyd speaking.
Ah, Madam Boyd, it's Dennis Waywell again.
Oh, Mr. Waywell, I've been expecting your call.
So, Madam Boyd, could we have this week's prediction, please?
One moment, dear. Tony, please get me my cloth. You have left my balls very greasy.
Oh, Madam Boyd, who is Tony?
My assistant, dear. He was an expert in your field, and since falling on hard times, he now assists me with my balls. His expertise in the field of rugby is exquisite, along with his soft hands.
So, can we say he's your,
Sorry, dear. Ooh, this is going to be quick. The Greaves has produced a premature prediction. Oh, yes. Your number two will be going to Pastors New this year.
Is that a number, or does that mean like an assistant or something?
I'm afraid that is all I can do for you now, Dennis. Until next time. Tony, please take me to my chain. Thank you.
If you wish to leave a record of your call, please state your message at the sound of the tone.
Number two. So, was she referring, number two, was she referring to a player? The coach?
It's interesting, or, yeah, isn't it?
Maybe Wolfie.
Well, I was going to say, I immediately thought it was just meant the number two, and then immediately thought of Lyman. Is he out of contract this year?
Well, there's continuing rumours that although he's happy in his game, he would like to go back home to the other side of the Pennines, isn't there?
But who pines for Hull? Who pines for Hull?
Someone who struggles with the bright lights of Warrington.
It's a shame, though, because Lynham is probably playing the best he's played for us around this time now, hasn't he, since he joined?
Yeah,
I think as he went through last year, he got better and better and more consistent and reliable and switched on, whereas the first season, he looked like he was in dreamland half the time, didn't he?
Yeah. Listen to us all writing him off already. You know what this is? This is because we really do believe that Madam Boyd has special insight. But the other thing is, as well, is that, so thinking on from that, Henderson is obviously number two. Hull are in a pretty sort of bad place. I know you've mentioned it before, Rob. What do you think?
He's now lost. Ratford has now lost the last 13 games. The last time Ratford won a game was prior to the heatwave in Britain.
But I just wanted to move on to, they got another injury, didn't they? They got that Matty Dawson-Jones, I think he went off. He was one of their sort of bright sparks.
Yeah, there was a few that got knocks yesterday. Tarzi, who we'll move on to in the second half, he also got a head knock, 18 stitches.
It was in his shin, wasn't it? I thought it was in his shin. Yeah. I think it was in his leg, not his head. Opposite side of the body.
Frankenstein, just sewing him up at all the edges.
Dear. All right, second half, 53rd minute, Austin puts a bomb up, not the highest bomb in the world. Their fullback, who had an indifferent game, did come into the line well, but he did also drop a few. Maguire gave him a right telling off on a couple of occasions. He drops the ball, and lo and behold, there's Levett again. Not only does he score, he cleverly improves the angle for the kick, and we're 18-8 up. At that stage, were we looking like we were home and dry, or it was just a case it was going to still go back in two?
No, we were looking like the more we kept hold of the ball, the more we controlled the ball, the more it looked like the game was, the result was inevitable. I never really thought we were going to lose. But prior to that try, you did think, yeah, if we score next, we'll comfortably see out the last part of the game. And if they score next, it's going to be a right miserable, nervy 20 minutes. But, yeah.
Well, my old man was screaming. I spoke to him after the game and he said the last person you wanted to have the ball at this moment in time when we were coming off our own line was Ben Murdoch-Masilla. And lo and behold, we go and give him the ball. And I'd love to know the stats and percentages on completion for him from when he catches a ball to when he plays a ball, because yet again, he knocked on, I think, was it at the play of the ball and put us under pressure straight away.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't do many metres yesterday, minutes rather. He 7 tackles, 5 carries for just 36 metres and 1 error.
Right.
And that error was important, yeah.
It was a big error.
That's as much work as Rob does that in a week, isn't it?
Well, look, at the next stage, Hull KR like they're going to score. Maguire throws out a long ball. Thank you very much. Charlie's away. It's great to have a bit of pace, isn't it? Do you think there was anyone else on that team playing for Warrington yesterday? Had they caught that ball, would have gone the length? Was it just...
No, Lynham would have.
You think Lynham would have made it?
Lynham would have made it, but I think you guys obviously couldn't see it from the angle of the TV. Kynehorst showed some pace to run him down. I didn't think Kynehorst would get anywhere near him, but he ran him down, and it had been another 10 metres or so. Yeah. Kynehorst might have got him.
Yeah, I think Charlie's sort of quick over the first 50, isn't he? And then he's a bit Jason Robinson. He sort of starts to slow a bit. The head starts to go, but he's rapid, still very, very quick.
There was another point I noticed. The Goodwin, it said, threw the ball in a player's face, it is on the bonk. But is that likely to lead to anything, or was that just sort of ignored?
No, there was a bit of a... It wasn't really a scuffle or anything. It was just a little bit of something and nothing. That I can't see that would get anything other than just a bit of a talking to by the referee. He didn't launch it at him. He just tossed it up at him. It wasn't really it was something and nothing that.
Dangerous, isn't it? I mean, growing up, you know, when the ball burst, we'd always solder the ball. And one of my neighbours, we just, you know, get the soldering iron, melt a bit of plastic over it, and on we'd go again. But one of the neighbours would always solder it with a little bit of metal. And then you'd always be worried that the ball was going to get you in the face.
Jesus.
Oh, the happy days of the late 70s.
Right, well, Hull KR still wouldn't lie down. They sort of ran across field in the 69th minute. No one seemed to want to tackle him. Reminding me a little bit of the grand final last year. In the end, he flips one out the back. Clark makes a sort of half-hearted effort around the legs. Goodwin suddenly shows his age and they're over. Poor defending, or just game was over?
Everyone was tired at that point. It felt when you were listening to it on the radio that actually everybody was just sort of like getting a bit to that blowing up stage. And then when you watched the video footage, it did look like it was a bit, everyone was stood up and didn't really move.
The lad who offloaded it right at the very last second, didn't he? And I think just for a moment, they'd switched off thinking the tackle was made, and then kind of steps back on the inside and through the hole.
Well, that was the 69th minute. Does anyone in your row where you sit, Sam, leave early?
No, actually, no. A couple of the guys behind us in the go back into the boxes if they're getting a bit cold. But not many people leave early, I don't think.
Are they allowed to take cardboard boxes into the match? What's a box?
I told you I sit up by the prawn sandwich brigade. You know, I've moved up in the world.
Ah, right. So is that why I'm on row A for Wigan? Go work my way up.
As far away from me as I can get you.
Dennis and I left early. We went to watch Leeds play Australia at Headingley.
Oh, God.
And it was a bitterly cold night, and Australia scored about 60 points in the first 5 minutes. There was one point in the game where Mal Meninga was about an inch from the line and had, I can't remember what the lad was called from Leeds. He weighed about 3 stone, and Meninga still passed the ball to Ettinghauser and he scored in the corner. He could have easily walked in. But Dennis and I left early, and then we spent the next 20 minutes walking past all these Leeds fans pretending we didn't know there'd been a rugby game on and what the score was, and asking them.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Happy days. Right. Well, just to sum things up then. Well, one more thing, and I think this was the best play of the game, and possibly this is where our new halfback partnership lies. Lovely soft hands by Cooper to Hill. Hill moves forward. Lovely soft hands from Hill to Cooper, and they're over. I mean, that was Langer Walters all over again, wasn't it? Superb.
It was Langer Walters in slow motion, but yeah, it was very, very good. It was very, very good. They just show what ability them two have got, haven't they? As soon as the opposition starts to tire, Hill and Cooper still pushing through the line, supporting each other, well, supporting anybody, just sums them up, particularly Hill and his ability just to keep going right to the final hooter.
Yeah.
I believe Patton can get a photo frame. I think he can get buy one, get one free and give it to Hill. So, you know, he can get in on the partnership. He must have felt as though he's got his nose pushed out.
I get the impression that Hill and Cooper are so relaxed in their relationship that Cooper's probably sleeping in the spare room now.
Yeah.
Well, if we're strong in the front row, I want to look at that sort of those two second row forwards and the loose forward, because are we a little bit light? Do we have three small men at 11, 12 and 13? I mean, all for Levet scoring two tries. He's not making any yards in the tackle. Hughes is coming out with 40 tackles each week, which is fantastic. But Jason Clark, as hard as he's trying, it doesn't seem to me that he's making many yards. You said before, Sam, that you thought we missed Ben Westwood going forward in that first 20. Were we a little bit light yesterday, a little bit soft at the start, and possibly that's what kept OKR in the game?
Possibly. I don't think we've got a problem with any of those players you've just mentioned. It would just perhaps be if we were going into one of the bigger games and relying on, let's say, God forbid that Hughes got injured and we went with Toby and Harvey at second row, then yeah, it looks a bit light, but I've got no problem with either player. In fact, I was very impressed by Levet yesterday, not so much because he scored two tries, and you are right, he doesn't seem to make many post-contact meters, but there was two, maybe even three occasions where he disrupted their last play.
Can I just stop you there a second? Dennis, can you write down post-contact meters? good one to use that in the future.
Got it.
He disrupted their last play, and it turned into just a handover to us where he didn't allow him to get the kick away from marker. He closed down the kicker. Kick got moved. And, you know, it's that balance between size and power and speed and agility. And I thought Levet played very well yesterday for his first game.
Okay. So, in summary then, We go to Huddersfield in a few weeks. Are we running with Toby King in the second row, or are we going to continue with Harvey Levet?
Where's Mamo? Is he not going to be around?
I sent you the memo on Thursday. Did you not get it?
No, Mamo.
I think most of us refer to him as Mamo.
All right. Okay, I'll just make a note of that.
Is that like Bath and Bath?
Mamo.
Well, he does live down south now, so it probably is Mamo.
Yeah.
Come on, Mamo.
Mamo. The kick and clap brigade would love that. Mamo. Yeah, well,
right. I'm at a complete loss how to introduce this section. After his recent visit to Nurse Draper and Professor Vanderveld, I was hoping he would be sectioned, but no. Diagnosis was he's just a steady cart horse. All right, everyone, brace yourself. It's time for yet another edition of Dennis's Tackle Bags.
Tackle Bags.
Well, thank you once again. Welcome to Tackle Bags this week. After last week's interruption, should I say. I don't know what happened there. But I noticed that the letters in my tackle bag, emails in my tackle bag had been reduced. because midway through there was obviously a little incident which I think we'll move on from. Anyway, as a result of which, we had about 14 emails this week. And in answer to the question about a flood of emails.
Do you have any memos?
No. I was waiting for a telegram, but I didn't get one of them either. But anyway, it was severely reduced from the week before as I was trying to build this section up of the programme. So anyway, the question was, would you drop a player based on the big data that has been collected on him? So anyway, I had 66%. So I can't say that. I think I need a drink.
Second service.
66% was no to dropping. 40% was to yes, you should drop them. And I've categorised 4%.
Hang on.
That doesn't add up.
6 plus 40. How did Professor Vanderveld let you go?
Oh, I can't read my own writing. Three looks like a four.
Oh dear.
Oh no.
Oh dear.
How much editing can you do of this section, Rob?
Unbelievable. I'll be up till midnight editing this.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go to the toilet in a minute as well.
get a grip of yourself, Dennis. So, right. In summary, no one gave a rat's arse about last week's Dennis tackle
back.
Yes, we did. So let's move on to this.
First email, we had Mr. Brooks. He said, certainly not. After all that money, they should be expected to go back to work. So it's definitely north of the river that I think that's come from.
Yeah.
Second one was Tony Smith's Holiday Dancer. So that must be some kind of handle there. They said, yes, we should trust the scientific data and look after the player's welfare. Look at the time it takes to get an appointment at the doctor's these days. Mm-hmm. So I think he's probably saying that, you can't get an appointment if people keep going to the doctors and so on. And the third one, again, this is the categorised, which I couldn't really put in the for or against.
Yes.
No, this was from Kukash Cash Cow, and they said, fuck them. So I think on that one, I think it was a split decision to say, well, no to dropping. So I won't be doing anything about that one either. So moving on to this week's tackle bags. In 1997, Bradford Bulls under Matthew Elliott introduced the tight-fitting shirt. What I want to ask is, do we want to go one stage further and introduce tight-fitting leotards, such as in the 100-meter racer and triathlete, if you like? Again, taking that sort of patent technology further so people can't grab the shorts of a player, which may give you just a little bit of advantage over the course of a season, maybe leading to one or two tries. Is it something that should be considered?
Have you been watching the Wire Flyer in his full bodysuit, have you? Did that give you the inspiration?
I came up with this about 3 weeks ago, and I'm beginning to think that somebody, we've got a leak in our team.
Has the Wire Flyer got any genitals?
It was cold yesterday. It was hard to tell.
Could be a hermaphrodite.
So anyway, you're obviously not interested. So I'll look to listeners again.
Moving on, Dennis. Moving on.
Emails will come flooding in.
Thanks for that, Dennis. Go. Thank you. Thanks for that. It's really good.
Oh,
right, we're going to move on to a new topic.
No, you're not moving on. You're not moving on. I want to get this in. Clive Woodward claimed he had a discussion with Nike and had come up with this concept about 10 years earlier. Just thought I'd mention that.
What concept was that?
The tight-fitting kit.
So you came up with the idea 3 weeks ago that Clive Woodward had 10 years ago.
Well, the thing about this is...
Finger on the pulse.
Yeah, maybe I should have done a bit of my research.
Tackle bags.
We have a new section now, which we should have done last week, but we forgot to do it. So we're gonna backtrack a little bit on this section and then come on to this week. But what we're going to look at is players from the opposing team that Warrington face each week, if we had to swap one player, and that's not based on their reputation, we're going to do it just purely based on the performance of the opposing team's players during the game against Warrington, which player would we swap? So I'll kick us off. If I had to swap a player last week from Warrington for a Leeds player, even though I'm not his biggest fan in the world, and he got a fair bit of stick last week, and he had not the best of games against Wigan this week, I would swap Dec Patton for Richie Myler. The reason being, I just thought Richie Myler was busier on the park last week against Warrington. And I don't think if he was playing for Warrington, he'd be the one that was having to boss us around and organise us where we need to go, which is something that they are very keen on him to do at Leeds. Dennis, who would you have swapped?
I would have actually swapped the wheelie bin. And basically, because when you watch that game, he was probably one of the most enthusiastic of their team. And for that alone, I think if he would have been playing for us, he probably would have been put in a better position to probably score a few tries.
And who are you swapping him for?
Bryson Goodwin.
I was surprised by his... They said he made over 160 metres. I mean, 140 of those must have been sideways.
I think when you looked at it, he just carried the ball a hell of a lot. He ran the ball in probably twice as much as any other Leeds player. So it was sheer weight of effort, of number of drives that got him them metres, rather than making a lot of metres each time.
Okay. I think included the Wednesday stat of the bin collection as well. It's about, you know, a good few metres there.
Yeah. Do you have... I did notice last week I mentioned that one of his wheels had fallen off based on the premise that he had four wheels. Do you have four wheels on your wheelie bins in England, or has Brexit sort of cut you back now more to a Robin Reliant three-wheeler?
Oh, no, oh, two. We have to put some effort in England.
Yeah, only two wheels on.
Interesting. Okay. Well, Sam, you've got the casting vote on this, so who would you have swapped and why?
I'd be slightly controversial, particularly given this is the first time you've asked us to look at this. If I was going to swap somebody, perhaps, yes, I would take Hurrell over Ben Murdoch-Masilla, purely on his... I'd have him on the bench to come on and give impact, but they don't play in the same position. So for the first time, I'm going to say nobody. I don't think any one individual... I'd play with one man down. My favourite player for Leeds last week was Stevie Ward, but I don't think he was any better than any of our back three.
This is the third time you've mentioned Stevie Ward. Put him in his fantasies. Put him in.
This is like Mrs. May. You were asking for a casting vote and he's given you nothing.
He's just run through the fields of wheat.
All right. Well,
soft cancer.
Okay, then we'll have Conrad Hurrell.
All right. So it's clear that last week we are all keen to swap Dec Patton for Richie Myler. Okay, moving on to this game. Hull KR, we're watching from, you know, highlights reel, so it's very hard for Dennis and I, but I would say that possibly I would, again, put it out there, I'd have swapped Patton for Maguire.
This week I would have had Danny Maguire in, yes. I was very surprised. I thought as soon as he went away from Leeds, he'd just drop off the face of the earth and just get slower and slower. But he did show he's still got ability. He's got ability there.
So who are you swapping him for, Sam?
Yeah, Deck, but not because I was having a go at Dec Patton this week. Because I thought Maguire was very good.
Okay, Dennis?
Well, I've put down Mitch Garbutt for Dec Patton. Being that we've got Hill and Cooper now at halfbacks, we don't really need him anyway.
Okay, well, we probably should look a little bit outside of what Warrington are doing and look at the other teams that are on the up and are on the slide. Dennis, the teams that have tickled your fancy so far?
Well, it's quite difficult at this stage of the season, I'd say. I mean, the only one I would say is London. I think at this stage of the season, I mean, I don't know how they get on today, but claiming that first victory last week was a bit of a coup for them, I think. And I think they'll gain confidence from that. So hopefully they'll put up a bit of resistance. They won't just be the, you know, the whipping boys of the season.
Sam, moving on to London. You like a weekend away in London. Any recommendations for hotels, places to eat? I mean, I just want to bring you on to a point here. We've got the analytics of this podcast and we've had nearly 3,000 downloads now. And our main source of downloads, surprisingly, is London. So if you could throw something in now for our southern viewer.
Saturday morning, nice walk round. As long as you avoid the tourists and don't go too late. Borough Market, you can always get some nice food from a normal English-style breakfast and bacon butty, leading to a bit of Jamaican and Creole food. So Borough Market's always nice to get you moving.
I took my partner to Borough Markets and we had 5 different varieties of mushrooms with quail eggs. And it's the most dogshit meal I've ever eaten.
obviously not bohemian enough to enjoy that.
I've just gone on to the Timothy Taylor Pint Finder, and there's 110 pubs in London that serve Timothy Taylor.
You want to go for a pint of ale, and you're in a multicultural city, and you want to go for a basic pint of ale. I don't know.
Teams that seem to be on the slide, Dennis?
Teams that seem to be on the slide. Well, there's a lot of teams that are getting quite a few injuries this year. It seems to be Huddersfield picked up a couple, I think, yesterday as well. Leeds are sort of like climbing the greasy pole, not quite making it anywhere. So I think when you look at Hull and Huddersfield are struggling at the moment. So it's hard to say, isn't it? We're only, you know, round two sort of thing. So it'd be interesting.
Yeah. Sam, any teams that you think look strong? I mean, I guess St Helens are going to be strong. Wigan, hook or by crook, seem that they're going to also pull through, looking on there.
I said on our first show, I saw Warrington and St Helens being several points cleared of the rest. Wigan, I'm still not sure about. I'm not sure as they go through. They've obviously got ability. They've over the last few years, you wouldn't, even when you were playing better than them, they always found a way to stick in the match and usually get you at the end, like they did in the finals against us. But I can see them possibly being a bit up and down. And as we've already mentioned, Hull. Yeah, Hull look a bit iffy, don't they?
Okay. All right, well, we'll move on now to, it's not next week's game, it's the week after we play Huddersfield. Everyone gets a break next week, including this podcast, because we've got the World Club Challenge. With me living in Sydney, I'll go for the Roosters. Actually, if I live 6 inches outside Wigan, I'd still go for Easts. Dennis, do you give a rat's arse who wins next week between Wigan and the Roosters? Have another bottle of wine.
I'm not interested, actually.
Sam?
It's hard for me to support an Australian team against any British team. So I'm not really going to support Wigan, but I'm not going to go against them either. Just see, we can see a decent game of rugby next Sunday night and a full or almost full stadium. That's one thing, actually, watching the Wigan versus Leeds game, it looked empty. There was only 11,000 there.
Yeah, I've noticed the seats have faded at Wigan as well. That really annoys me now. They used to be nice, bright red and blue, and now they're sort of like faded a bit, aren't they?
A bit like their team.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that Australians will come up with any excuse when they lose. They'll look at this game as if it doesn't really mean anything. They'll use that classic line of, well, you've started your Super League season, you're 2 weeks in. Well, if you gave me an option of training through the bleak, cold British winter and then having to play rugby league, or having the benefit of having warm weather training for the past 8 weeks, and swimming in the Pacific at the end of each training session. I know which one I'd take, which is hence why Warrington went to Portugal and all these teams do warm weather training. So I just hope they don't pull that one over over us again, because it's just not right. So I don't care, to be fair. I couldn't give a monkey's cuss who wins. Right, so moving on to the Huddersfield game. You were there last year, Sam. You said you were never going to go to another away game as long as you live. Will you be going to Huddersfield?
Well, we discussed perhaps going next. When we were at the match yesterday, we discussed train timetables and going to the game. So it looks like, unless it's horrific weather, I'll be there.
Okay.
Purely for research for this podcast, obviously.
Now, is it a blessing in disguise that possibly Austin gets banned, which means Mamo comes into the team? He plays his first game for Warrington against Huddersfield. He has an absolute blinder. Ratchford moves into the halves with Patton. The following week, we end up with Ratchford and Austin in the halves and Mamo keeping his place at fullback. I mean, that is a possibility, I guess.
It's a possibility, but this podcast, maybe we should call it the Deck Pattern podcast this week. If you look at him playing well, I would, if he can get to the decent level, Pattern's game and short kicking game should complement Austin more than Ratchford's running style. So it might work. And if Austin is injured, I think giving Ratchford a run if Austin is banned, giving Ratchford a run at six does help in the long run in case he has to go there later.
Mm. All right.
A couple of things to note here. I watched that Huddersfield match yesterday. That Wardle was giving some really big hits. He was throwing himself around yesterday. So he looks like he's back to probably his best. And the new guy that they've got, is it Frawley? He's the halfback who they've got in. He looks quite good as well. He's got the similar sort of stature to Luke Gayle sort of thing. So he looks pretty good.
Was it him or Farrell who went off injured?
Yeah, it's Farrell that went off.
They've got a lot of injuries. Didn't they have a fair few out? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
They were waiting to have some back, but it sounds like they've picked up more injuries.
Mm. And Akuma Tai has still not got his visa. He'll be a miss for them. But it's 2 weeks away yet, isn't it? That could get... And their injuries could come back. I don't know how long could Joe is out for.
Yeah. And we are injury-free. I presume Tarzi drops out 18 inches in his shin. It's going to take a few weeks to heal. I mean, if it was a Challenge Cup final, he'd probably play, but you'd think they'd want to protect that now. He'll drop back out.
Mm.
All right, well, let's have our predictions for the Huddersfield game. Do you want to start, Sam? You won last week.
Unless it's snowing and we don't like it, then I'm going to say Huddersfield 16, Warrington 24.
Ooh, close. Dennis?
Huddersfield 10. Warrington 30.
Ooh.
Mm. All right. Well, I'm going to go the other way. I think Dennis has picked the score there, but I think he's got it the wrong way around. I think, Sam, you're going to come away saying, I'm never going to go to another game as long as I live away from home, and I'll go Huddersfield 30, Warrington 10. All right. Well, that's it. Thanks for sticking with us for the first few weeks. Every week we give you our opinions. We don't see them as right. We don't see them as wrong. We're just Wire fans. And this is what makes this podcast. So let's have your opinion. Please get in contact with us on Twitter at whatbevan or email us at whatbevan@gmail.com. We're taking a bit of a break now. We will see you back here at 7 p.m. on the 26th of February for episode 4. So it's a goodbye until then from Dennis Waywell.
We're seeing you.
And I will see you on the other side from Sam Sankey.
All the best.
And it's a goodbye from me, Rob London. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Right, fetch me a bucket and spade. I'm off to the beach. Has anyone seen my shark repellent?